Hey, how are you? Welcome to DCP Talks, our first episode. You know, I put this podcast together as part of my website, www.authorstephencandace.com. You know, like everybody else, I wasn't sure, but why not, right? I've written over 40 books, and with over 20 of those books being on Audible. Now, I don't know about you, but I needed to get my books out there. Like everybody else, I was reluctant, I was hesitant, not sure, afraid of the feedback. But then I realized after receiving 300 auditions from different individuals, like, why not? Hell yeah. Holla. Yes, I can. It's my own toot your own horn when you can. Trust me. Now, today's episode, we are going to hit in the romance sector. We're going to talk about relationships, toxic or love relationships. We're going to read two of my books and then discuss them. We'll take a page from each book, break it down, put the why factor in so we can figure out which way we're going to go or which way maybe we thought why they did it. Now, let us go ahead and talk about these books. The first book is called Lost in the Maze of Paradise. And the second book is Crybaby. Now, Lost in the Maze of Paradise. Lost in the Maze of Paradise was narrated by Gloria Stokes. Gloria is an accomplished narrator. She has worked at a bank for over 20 years and had to communicate with various companies in the finance department. Gloria lives in the state of Ohio in the U.S. of A. And you can reach her through my website at the Audible section. There you go. Now, why did I choose Gloria? I chose Gloria because when she read the story, it felt like she was reading it to me. Very smooth, very consistent. I felt like I was there. I felt the sun. I was staring at the bar. So therefore, it just really hit home because I love Mexico. It's one of my favorite spots to go to. So therefore, why not, right? Well, Gloria had such a smooth tone, and with her consistency, shit, she had the part as soon as she fit. I had over 30 auditions, male and female, but I chose her because she fit the part. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. Now, let me introduce to you to the Lost of the Maze of Paradise. Lost in the Maze of Paradise is 168 pages of a compelling story. It's about a woman with her emotions swinging totally out of control, and she thinks she may have made the worst decision of her life. Now, Mary, with her friends, decide to take the bachelorette party to Mexico. Oh, that's where Mary meets Roberto, one of the staff members. Quietly, Mary meets Roberto secretively. Whew, that's a dilly word, right? Now, 3 days later, Mary goes missing. What? Mary goes missing. I mean, never returns. Her friends can't find her. Her friends had to get security involved. They can't find her. Now, did Mary actually go missing? Or is she just a simple case of a runaway bride hopping on a boat and taking off? I think we need to find that shit out, right? True. Now, let's break this story down, okay? Let me give you a little taste, okay? Roberto swings his arms around to push Mary away, but his elbow catches Mary in the face, knocking her down to the stand. Mary grabs her face as she fell. Mary stares at Roberto. Roberto turns to see Mary hit the sand, and he feels like crap. He goes to console Mary when she slaps his hands. Mary gets up shaking her head, and she's wiping off the sand from her clothes, and she's pissed. She looks at Roberto. Roberto walks forward trying to talk to Mary when she slaps him in the face. Face, bam. Now she tells him, I'm going to get you fired. Boom. What is that? If that's not tension buildup, I don't know what is. Now we need to break this down because this is just not fair, right? Okay, let's take Roberto's side. Well, let me see. Roberto now, he works at a resort. He's used to seeing people coming every week, giving him the wink, wink, trying to get a good drink. We've all been there. How many times you tip the bartenders? Great. So you can keep them coming. You know the way that works. Now, Roberto don't have a problem meeting a little one-on-one and having a little sand time. So therefore, is that his fault? But now we all know now bartenders down in the resorts are called dogs, and maybe for a reason. So we should be a little careful or take a good Scooby snack. Now, let's break down Mary's side. Wow, let's dive right in. Mary is upset. Mary thinks she made the worst mistake of her life. Mary is 1,000 miles away from home, and she looks at the tan man behind the bar. Woo! Mary's like, candy. Should I not? Mary's unhappy. Mary thinks she made a bad decision. So Mary may have a little bit of fun time away from home. Is she going to tell her friends? Maybe one. Sometimes not, because what would they think? Now, that's Mary's side. Now, I don't know about you, but, that could get a little tense, if you know what I mean. All right, book two, Cry Baby, is narrated by Kathleen Maranti. Kathleen Maranti has her own studio in her home, and she lives in the state of Connecticut in the U.S. of A. You can reach Kathleen through my website as well on the Audible section. Now, Cry Baby. Cry Baby is 170 pages filled with total emotion at every turn. This is an adult book, so let's make sure we understand Cry Baby. Adult, no chillings, adult. So therefore, it's been 5 years when Mary meets Scott. She was single for 5 years. She meets Scott. They fall in love. They decide to get married and have a couple chillings. The police visit the Perkins residence, and they find everything in disarray. Kat passes the ambulance to see the woman lying there with an oxygen mask on her face. Kat stares when he hears Stuart tell him that the rest of the men are surrounded the man upstairs. The large, dark-haired man is rocking back and forth, clutching a little pink unicorn. Ooh, let's give you a little taste of Cry Baby. 10 years later, Johnny sits writing his letter to his wife using a small light. He thinks while saying out loud, "I'm coming home, baby. I'll be there soon. You wait. You know you miss me. I feel down in my soul, yo, Johnny is coming home to roost." Woo! Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like it could be a little tense situation there. Now, why did I choose Kathleen for this part? You have to listen to it to understand. Her voice was a dead calm, different, very rustic and very darkness. And I was like, this fits this story. She was smooth. The way she was consistent and the way she read it, it captivated me every time I listened to it. So therefore, that's why I chose it. I thought it was great. What is love? A strong affection for one another. Attraction based on sexual affection and tenderness. An assurance of affection. I think we all know that one. What is a toxic relationship? A toxic relationship can manifest in romantic and platonic relationships. In a romantic relationship, toxic can be involved manipulation, controlling, abuse, and even physical abuse. Don't take that shit, anybody. Wrong. Platonic relationships. We all have those too. Sisters, brothers, friends, stuff like that. This might include manipulation, gossip, betrayal, consistently draining and another emotionally without regard of your feelings. That's exactly what it comes down to. So why do people choose what they do? At times we wonder why they did such a thing. The question has been in existence since the beginning of time. We often find ourselves in the middle of an unbalanced scale, forcing us to make a decision. Could it be that some individuals feel trapped? Could you feel it's in their relationship? And what I mean is, why do some people have so many differences? They argue a lot. Why do people feel controlled? Especially in the decision-making department. Why do some partners never want to do anything? Please tell me that. What is a partner supposed to do if another partner doesn't want to do something? They just want to stay at home. I know some people like that. That's the truth. And I know others that are not. You know what I mean. I think you know what I mean. Could it be because some individuals feel trapped in their relationship? So what if your partner doesn't want to be with your family? I've always felt the bullshit of family dueling dinners in the holidays. I was not allowed to say I'm not going. But Why can't both parties separate? Then you should be with your family. It just makes logical sense, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas are one of those days where you should be with your family. You grew up with your family. You have cousins with your family. You have family, sisters, brothers, and so does the other side. Well, why does somebody have to make a decision? Really? Come on, it's your family. The one person that does this really, really greatly is one of my daughters, her boyfriend and her. He goes to his and she goes to ours. And it makes so much sense because then there's never decision making. You're with your family. Then you choose to be with one another right afterwards. One of them leaves and then they go be with the other one. That's the way it should be. I think it makes a lot of fucking sense to me. No offense. Saying. Holla. Just saying. You know, that is why our actions always act, because we don't want an argument. We're afraid of the shit that goes, okay? Now, what drives my wife crazy is, what about, why do people constantly keep the same relationship? One never knows. They go out, find somebody new, same person that they broke up with, just a different look, and then they bitch because it's not working out, or it does not work out. Well, let's be honest, you fucked up, right? You, what's the definition of insanity? Doing something over and over and over, thinking you're going to get a different result. Let's do this now. Get that shit together, people. Come on. We're all guilty, by the way. You can't fight that shit. I mean, really, we're all guilty. But we all know someone who falls in love quickly. Okay, hell, I'm guilty of that shit. I've been married 3 times. So holla, what do you want? It doesn't mean I failed any of them. Let's make sure you understand something. Just because you're not with somebody, it doesn't mean you failed. It means the relationship failed. It means that someone didn't uphold the bargain in the beginning. You make a bargain, right? You make a bargain to love one another. You make a bargain to be together one another. You make a bargain to do this. Well, what happens if one person changes and then they don't want to do the things you want to do? They don't want to be with you. It's just not on purpose. It's not they don't love you. They just have a different lifestyle. The younger we are, the more we fight. The older we are, the more we learn to be alone. We give the other space, maybe too much space sometimes, because it sure feels like you just, hey, you know, feeling love is love, okay? I have 3 family members in my family, my sister, my 2 cousins. They've all been married for over 40 years, all of them. Hell, I've been married over 40 years too, just 3 different wives. Holla, woo! But still, right? It's one of those things where it is what it is. Now, I look at it as I just love love. I'm easy to love. I'm one of those people where I can fall in love and I can hate you just as bad, but I love you. It's just the way it is. And I forgive easily. That's just me. You know, I think most time is because people hate loneliness. They hate loneliness. I'm like, shit, who wants to be alone? But some people just like having their own space. They like just being alone. They don't mind a companion here or there, but they don't want somebody steady. Shit, get the hell out. They want someone just to in and out. Hi, bye. Thank you for dinner. Bye. Now, it doesn't mean that's bad. That's just an individual. Look at how many people we know that can't be alone. They are like just touchy-feely. They have to be all over the person. They like sticky like glue. Shit, we've all been there too. It's just one of those things where I think that it's the cause of them seeking attention. Some people have to always be noticed, especially in a relationship. It's just the way it is. Which brings us to regret. If things happen out there, and if you choose to do something, and then a regret you may feel. Well, I don't believe in regrets. I don't think there is such a thing as a regret. I think there's bad decisions. Let me explain. If you know what you did at the time, you made that choice at the time. You even knew the consequences at that time. Did you stop? No, you went ahead full speed, whatever you were doing, whether it was seeking the late night hour out at bars or whether you were in some Humpty Dumpty hotel room. It does not matter. You can't regret something when you knew that decision, right? Come on, let's think about it. The excitement, the chemistry of everything, the feeling of explosion inside. Shit, and all of a sudden, you know what happens? Now you got to think about the emotions taking over. Now, sooner or later, it's going to become a nightmare. because one of you thought it was going further, if you know what I mean. Hey, you got to be careful, man. So why be leery? I would be leery. And I think the issues that everyone about consequences can all be broken down to, how about the movie years ago with Fatal Attraction? Glenn Close and Michael Douglas. You talking about Fatal Attraction moment. You know, and anybody who's had a real one, yeah. A business guy decides to have a fling in an elevator with a woman, and next thing you know, the little bunny of his home is boiling in a pot. Like, hello, I don't know about you, but that would kind of scare the shit out of me. So I would, you know, think before I leap. That's one of those things where sooner or later, your personal experience is going to warn you, be careful out there. I mean, so why do people stay? If you hate the person you're with, if you hate the relationship, I feel like an imbalance of love. It's one of those things. It's probably because you know them. It's probably because you know what they're going to do. Now, let's make sure we understand some. You can be in a relationship, and it doesn't mean that you don't want to take a baseball bat and whap the shit out of somebody. Or their mouth opens, you don't want to smack the tar out of it. Or if their actions just continue to, man, I want to push a person out of a car. Not saying you're going to do it, but the thought is there. Like, man, we've all had those evil sides. I mean, come on. You know, there's no excuse for some of their actions. And yet, we're the ones that are supposed to accept it. I haven't understood that one either. Someone hits you, but you get in trouble for hitting them back. Let's break that down shit. Like, you know, that's kind of crazy. You know, it makes sense because I've heard of so many different personalities out there. Why people are the way they are. Okay. I've always heard that there was only 10 personalities. And that would kind of make sense if you really think about it, right? Just 10, right? We all know someone. And we've all been somewhere far away. And we've all been somewhere in a bar or somewhere where we met somebody and we know them. We know their chemistry. We know everything about them. It's like we knew them the whole time. You two get along like it's like freaking frack. And God forbid it's a freaking opposite sex and they're attractive because, man, you do just hit it off. Doesn't mean you're going to do anything. But boy, it sure is a good feeling to have somebody understand you. That's all I'm saying, right? Now, you can share your thoughts anytime you want. Author Stephen Candace at gmail.com. All right? Author Stephen Candace at gmail.com. Now, this episode, we were going to talk about two recipes from my two cookbooks that are going to intertwine this story. So this week, I have chosen crispy island coconut shrimp and chips with homemade salsa. Well, we're going to cheat this time because there's too many ingredients with the homemade salsa. So we're just going to break it down. Now let's get to the shrimp. Ooh, this is a good one. You're going to need 1 cup of coconut flakes. If you want to toast them, you put them on a parchment paper for 5 minutes on 350. Done. You need 1 pouch of Shake and Bake original coating mix. You need 1/4 teaspoon of curry powder and 1/4 teaspoon. You like that, Corey? 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper. You're going to need 24 each uncooked shrimp, cleaned. If you have to thaw them out, put them in cold water in a bowl. They'll be done in 15 minutes and they'll be easy enough to skin them and devein them. Now, directions. You could have the healthy way. The healthy way is you heat your oven to 400. You're going to combine the coconut, the coating mix, the seasoning mix in a shallow dish. You're going to dip the shrimp in egg, and then you're going to roll the coconut mixture and coat it, placing it on a baking sheet on parchment paper. You're going to bake for 10 to 12 minutes until the shrimp are tender. Now, the unhealthy way, yum, yum, holla, unhealthy way is set your deep fryer at 350. Repeat the same steps as above, but you're only going to cook it for 1 to 2 minutes. And keep your eye on it. They will toast really quickly. So maybe 30 seconds, flip it, and then another 30 seconds. You know what I mean. It depends on your baker. Some grease is a little more hotter. Now, number 2, nachos. Nachos with salsa. Let's break this down the easy damn way. Get yourself a bag of Tostitos and then go get yourself a jar of Tostitos salsa and then get yourself a jar of cheese tostito, medium on both. Take the bag of chips as you desire. Place the cheese in the microwave for 1 to 2 minutes. Place the salsa and cheese in the middle of a tray. Scatter the chips around it. Voila, easy peasy, that shit is done. Nice. Now you got chips and salsa, and now you got some, crispy coconut shrimp. Yum, yum. Sweet. This episode of Things That Make You Go Hum. What is the deal with some of these men not putting down the toilet seat? That's right. You heard that shit straight out. I have never understood that. What the freak is that about? My opinion, I grew up in a home with sisters, and if that seat was ever left up, my father would take matters into his own hands. And I don't know if you know what that means, but you didn't leave that seat up again. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a best friend and a stepson that does that shit all the time. You talk about pissing me off? Jeez, guys, come on, no names. Put that shit up there. You know, do it right. Think about the ladies, right? Ladies, can I get a holla, holla? Thank you. Now, I did talk about odor shit, okay? As I said, the older I get, the more I see myself change. The further life becomes, the funnier, actually. And here we go. Take, for instance, when you're young, you always want to be together. The love smacking, all the kisses, all the hugs, all that good stuff, right? The only issue when you're young, it seems like there's a lot of fighting and a lot of controlling issues. Ooh, controlling issues are something that is like out the window. Now let's get to the 30s and 40s. 30s and 40s come around. The couple is still engaging each other, but now there's interruptions. Now you got finances and homes. Now you got chillins. And if anybody got chillins, the chillins will kill you. Because they always need attention, especially when they're young, all the way through. But let's make sure we get something straight. If you're a good parent, your chillins never leave. And you always are a parent with your children, so you're always taking care of them. Myself, I'm always doing things to my children or helping them out if I can. That's a parent. Your kids came in this world asking you for nothing. Remember that, people. You owe them everything. They didn't ask you for nothing. You brought them in this world. You need to take care of your kids. That's all I'm going to say. Now, done with that shit. All right. Now, get back to the story. When you're older, all of a sudden, now you reach your 50s. Now you're learning that your kids are growing up. They're getting out of the house. Now, all of a sudden, you guys are alone. Now you guys are talking or you're not talking. And then things are scarce or you may break up even. In the 60s, you are definitely more alone than you are together. You may go out together. You may talk in a room watching TV together, but you are not together like it used to be. Now, doesn't mean that things are terrible. It just means it is not the way it used to be. You better get used to that shit. That's right. You heard it from me first. Get used to it. But everything's good otherwise. You both have your lives. You're both older. There's no fighting a lot over money. There's no fighting over things. You got your shit together by then. So in a good way, I think everything is going to come out okay, right? Now, we have a quote of the week. And this week's quote is, the greatest gift you can give your children are roots of responsibility and the wings of independency. Now, that is true. Which reminds me of an accurate tale of one child turning independent. The story of Lizzie Borden. Those of you who don't know Lizzie Borden, July 19th, she was born in 1860. It was an American woman who was tried and acquitted on August 4th, 1892, for the axe murderer of her parents, father and stepmother. You know, when I was a kid, there was a rhyme, and it all started in the 1800s. The rhyme was, Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she realized what she'd done, she gave her father 41. Damn, ain't got away with murder. So, parents, pick your battles. Be nice, but it's okay. Now, let's go ahead and enjoy everything around us. Let's relax and let's grab a good book. We will chat with you later. Holla! Have a great day, and DCP Talks is out.